Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Sense and Scent Ability by Renee George. Narrated by Margaret Strom. Chapter 1.
I think I have a brain tumor, I blurted as I flung open my front door for my best friend, Jillian Jilly Martin. She held a bottle of wine in one hand and a grocery bag filled with honey buns, potato chips, salted nuts, and chocolate-covered raisins in her other.
You don't have a brain tumor.
Jilly passed off the bag and the bottle, then brushed past me, shrugging off her coat and hanging it on the hall tree. It had been a cold March, with temperatures in the low 40s most days. Under the coat, Jilly wore a form-fitting, long-sleeved, baby blue turtleneck sweater and black palazzo pants that flared out over a pair of black flats. Her straight chestnut-brown hair was in a loose ponytail for our girls' night in.
"Are you pooping okay?"
she asked.
"The doctor said you weren't supposed to strain. You could pop internal stitches."
"Quit asking me about my bowel habits," I said. "As of yesterday, I've been cleared to resume normal activity, like straining when I poop. Besides, I'm worried about my head, not my butt." After all, my mother had died of brain cancer. I trailed off, trying to find the right words.
"Seeing things."
Jilly squeezed my shoulder in an effort to comfort me.
"You had a hysterectomy, Nora. Didn't the doctor say you might feel strange for a while?"
If strange included dying on the operating table and then discovering strong, scent-induced hallucinations, then yeah, I felt strange. I mean, if death was going to bring me a gift, I would have liked something a lot more useful than the ability to smell other people's troubles.
How could I possibly explain my new weird ability to her?
Well, obviously, I couldn't. It had been 8 weeks since my surgery, and I still hadn't figured out a way to confide in Jilly.
"Nora?"
I sighed. "I need a drink." I lifted up the wine bottle. "Let me pop this sucker." Jilly still looked concerned, but I smiled and nodded toward the living room. "Be right there." A few minutes later, I handed Jilly her glass of Cabernet Sauvignon and sat down next to her on the couch.
"You know regular activities include sex,"
Jilly said with a little too much enthusiasm. She waggled her brows at me. "Sex hasn't been a regular activity for me in a very long time." 2 years, to be exact. I wasn't a prude. It's just that there hadn't been a lot of opportunities. Between caring for my mother during the last stages of her illness and dealing with painful uterine fibroids, dating and sex were the last thing I cared about.
"You are way too hot to be celibate."
"Sure." I patted my swelly belly. "I've gained 10 pounds in the last 2 months."
"You just had your guts out,"
she said, with a fair amount of exasperation. Then she flashed me her signature Jilly Martin smile and added,
"Besides, men like women with curves."
I frowned and pinched some of my stomach fat. "It's too squishy to be a curve." She laughed.
"Girl, I got squishy curves all over."
She rubbed her tummy, "including my midsection." She fluffed her ponytail, "and I'm sexy as hell." I grinned. "You certainly are." I had always lacked the confidence Jilly displayed about her looks and body. She wasn't wrong about her sex appeal. Men were drawn to her like bears to honey.
"Have I told you lately how happy I am that you're back in Garden Cove?"
I rolled my eyes, then grinned. "All the time."
"I can't help it. I missed you when you lived in the city."
Her sigh held a hint of sadness.
"Though, I'm sorry for the reason you had to come home.
Last year, my mother's brain cancer had progressed to its final stage. My father had died 10 years ago, and I was an only child. Mom only had me. So I'd taken a compassionate leave of absence from work as a regional sales manager for a prominent health and beauty line to care for her. It had turned into an early retirement when my employer decided they wanted to keep my temporary replacement, a younger, more cutthroat version of myself. Thankfully, they'd offered me a generous severance package if I would go quietly, including covering medical insurance costs until I qualified for Medicare in 14 years. I'd accepted their offer. Spending time with Mom until her final moments had been a blessing. I didn't regret a minute of caring for her. Of course, from the hospice workers, the aides, the nurses, the volunteers who would sit with her while I shopped, and even the chaplain who brought her some spiritual comfort, I hadn't done it alone. My mother had been the rock of our family, a major source of comfort and stability. When she got sick, she minimized the severity of her cancer because she hadn't wanted me to worry. Honestly, I'd believed she'd beat it. I'd never seen Mom not succeed when she put her mind to something. If only I had known how bad it really was, I would have come home sooner. Reconnecting with Jilly had been one of the major bright spots since moving back to Garden Cove. We'd been inseparable during elementary and high school. She'd been the maid of honor at my wedding and had done the pub crawl up in the city with me when my divorce had finalized. I had been 29 at the time. It was hard to believe that 22 years had passed since then. When I was in my teens, I couldn't wait for high school to be over so I could make my own life. Then, in college, I couldn't wait to graduate so I could be married. Later, when my marriage fell apart, I couldn't wait to be out of it so I could move away from Garden Cove and start my career. I'd spent so much time wishing my life away that I'd failed to really live in the moment. I didn't want to be that person anymore. My whole life had been go, 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 and I was ready for some slow, slow, slow. I squeezed Jilly's hand. I missed you, too. You know, it's not too late to quit your job and come work with me in the shop. Jilly smiled. I like running the spa at the Rose Palace Resort. I know you do. I didn't press her. We'd had this conversation a dozen times since I'd bought Tidwell's Diner and converted it into an apothecary where I sold homemade beauty and aromatherapy products. I couldn't afford to pay her what she was worth anyhow, but it didn't stop me from wishing we could spend more time together. I consider myself lucky that she'd had tonight free. Jilly was a single mom to teenage twins, and the high school was out for their short spring break that would end on Monday and Tuesday, thanks to snow days in January that they still had to make up. The kids were doing overnights at their friends, while Jilly had packed a bag to stay in my guest bedroom and leave for work in the morning from here, hence the wine. How are the kids doing?
Like they would tell me? Jilly snorted. They're teenagers, so they share as little as possible. Marco seems to be doing okay. He's dating a girl a year older than him, a senior. Can you believe it? I wouldn't have ever dated a younger boy in high school.
Marco's a good-looking kid.
He's only 16, and just like his dad.
Jilly agreed.
Oozing charm and confidence worries me sometimes.
He's not anything like Gio, I assured her. Marco, while moody and temperamental at times, had a kind heart, unlike his father, who only cared about himself.
The twins never saw their dad anymore, and that was on Giovanni Rossi. After the divorce, he took a head chef position at an Italian restaurant in Vegas. He used his work as a way to avoid parental responsibility. Too often, Jilly carried that burden of guilt, as if it was her fault Gio had abandoned his kids.
"What about Ari?" I asked.
"She made the honor roll." Jilly's daughter's full name was Arianna Luna Isabel Rossi. A beautiful name, but she preferred Ari. The girl marched to the beat of her own drum, and I loved that about her. Where her mother was hyper-feminine in both hair and clothes, Ari wore her hair like James Dean, and her outfits tended to be androgynous.
"She's so smart, but I can't help but worry about her. She's so damned quiet. How in the world did I, a woman who can't shut up, raise a daughter who doesn't like to talk?"
"You got me there," I said, offering a sly smirk.
"Nora!"
She smacked my arm.
"You're terrible."
"Ouch." I rubbed the spot and laughed. "I really am. Good for Ari, though," I said. "She's always been a smart cookie, and her drive and ambition to excel will take her places." I didn't have children by choice, but that hadn't stopped me from agreeing to be Marco and Ari's godmother. When I lived in the city, I'd sent the kids packages every year for birthdays and Christmas, but I hadn't spent a lot of time with them until I returned to Garden Cove. "She's going to be just fine, even if she didn't inherit her mother's gift of gab." I slung my arm around Jilly's shoulders and squeezed, careful not to jostle our wine glasses. I caught the sweet scent of raspberries with notes of citrus and vanilla. Blurry shapes form. A woman stands in front of a large man who towers over her. Faces are hazy. It appears as if they're both made of colored smoke.
"It's over, Lloyd."
I recognize Jilly's voice.
"Don't be that way, Jilly."
The man cajoles. "I didn't mean anything by it." Jilly's voice chokes.
"I really like you, but I can't be with someone who would say those things, especially about my daughter. Ari is a great kid."
She turns away from him, and he grabs her arm. Jilly gasps as he yanks her against his body.
"We belong together."
He manacles both her wrists with his large hands.
"You have to give me another chance."
"Get your hands off me," she says, pain evident in her shaking voice.
"I'll never let you go."
His menacing tone chills me to the bone.
"Never."
"Hello?" Jilly snapped her fingers in front of my face. "Earth to Nora."
"What?"
I said, blinking at my friend. Her brow furrowed.
"Are you okay?"
"You're going to get grooves between your eyes if you don't stop worrying about me." Although at this point, I had enough worry for the both of us. "How's it going with the new guy you're dating? Lloyd Briscoe, right?" Jilly went pale, and the wine glass in her hand trembled. I took it from her, then placed both of our glasses on the coffee table. "Jilly?"
"I'm fine,"
she said, her voice pitched to an unbelievably cheery tone.
"Didn't you promise me a date with Mr. Darcy?"
I'd wanted to tell her about my scent-stimulated hallucinations, and maybe now was the time. This was the first, vision I'd had about my best friend. Still, what if I was wrong? If I really did have a brain tumor, and these experiences were a symptom of being sick, then it would be stupid to worry Jilly. Besides, if she thought I was nuts, she might decide to tie me up, throw me in the car, and take me to the nearest emergency room. But her avoidance of my question, in addition to the vision,
stirred a bad feeling in the pit of my stomach.
"Tell me what's going on,"
I said softly. Jilly took a sudden interest in a loose stitch at the bottom of her sweater, tugging on it to avoid my gaze.
"We broke up,"
she paused.
"Correction, I broke up with him."
Jilly pushed up the cuff of her sleeve and revealed finger-sized bruises on her wrist.
"He did this?"
I asked. My stomach clenched. What I'd glimpsed of Jilly and Lloyd's interaction had been real.
Holy crap.
Without thinking, I asked, "Was it something to do with Ari?" Jilly gave me a sharp look.
"How did you..."
She shook her head, then nodded.
"I overheard him laughing with some of his buddies in the security office."
Her hands were shaking now, and there was anger in her voice.
"They were talking about Ari."
Her eyes narrowed as her ire surfaced.
"He called Ari a freak, and some other unsavory slurs that I won't repeat, because she happens to wear her hair short and the way she dresses."
I took her hand and gave it a pat. "He's an asshole."
I marched right into that room, gave him the "it's not me, it's definitely you" speech. He grabbed me and told me we were done when he said we were done.
"Is that after he told you he'd never let you go?"
Jilly paled.
"Yes.
How did you know that?"
Alarm kicked my adrenaline in. I skipped her question and went right to the important part.
"That's a threat, Jilly. You need to call the police."
"And tell them what? Who's going to believe silly Jilly over the head of security for the Rose Palace? Lloyd is an ex-cop, and he still has a lot of friends on the force."
"Yeah? Well, so do I."
"You mean your ex-husband, chief of police, who you haven't spoken to in 10 years? That guy?"
Jilly scoffed.
"Sean Rafferty didn't like me when you two were married."
Sean and I had divorced for a myriad of reasons, but mostly because he'd changed his mind about wanting kids. I had not. When we divorced, we split everything down the middle. And since we didn't have children, and we were both just starting our lives, I didn't sue for alimony. I didn't want anything tying us together anymore. Not even a last name. So I took back my maiden name. And then, poof! Like magic. It had been as if the 5 years we were married and the 4 years we dated never existed. But say what you want about my ex-husband. He's a good cop. And yeah, a good person. He and his wife had sent a lovely spray of lilies for my mom's funeral, and Sean had even stopped in at the visitation. Our conversation, the first one we'd had since my dad had died a decade ago, had been short but not unpleasant.
"Sean will believe you."
I clasped both of her hands and looked her in the eye.
"Promise me you'll call the police if that son of a bitch comes within 50 feet of you again." "We both work at the Rose Palace. Our paths are bound to cross."
Jilly blew out a breath.
"But I'll do my best to avoid him."
I stared at her hard, my mouth set in a grim line.
She raised her hand as if taking an oath.
"And I'll call the police if he attempts to even talk to me."
She pushed my shoulder lightly.
"Now, come on. I didn't come over here to lament my tragic taste in men. You promised me a night of binge-watching Jane Austen movies, good wine, and all the popcorn I can eat."
My smile felt tight. Jilly was an adult, and she'd been living her life just fine for many years without me telling her what to do.
"You're absolutely right.
Let's fill up these wine glasses and I'll start the popcorn. You break out the goodies." Like a weirdo,
I loved mixing chocolate-covered raisins in with my salty popcorn. Yum! 20 minutes later, we were sitting on my comfy couch with throw blankets over our legs, a large popcorn bowl between us, and honey buns on the coffee table. Our wine glasses were full of Cabernet Sauvignon, and our undivided attention was on Mr. Darcy.
"Why can't real men be like him?"
Jilly bemoaned after Darcy gave Elizabeth moon eyes. "No, thank you," I told her. "I like the fantasy of Darcy, but he's judgy and bossy and arrogant. Give me a guy who is genuinely interested in my happiness and not what he thinks will make me happy. That's the guy I'll spend the rest of my life with." Not that I thought such a man existed. I wasn't content, exactly, but I was resigned to live out my life as a single woman. I glanced at Jilly. At least I knew I'd never be alone, not with friends like her in my life. I nudged her and smiled. "Even so, I'll happily root for Elizabeth Bennet to get her man."
"So you are looking for a man," Jilly said triumphantly.
"You're the worst," I said. Jilly made a kissy face in my direction.
"Best bitches forever."
High-beam headlights glared through my living room window. I shielded my eyes and waited for them to go off. They didn't.
"Who is that?" Jilly asked. "Were you expecting anyone?"
"No, just you." I got up and looked outside with Jilly right behind me.
Oh, no, she hissed. "It's Lloyd."
"Go lock the front door," I said. When she didn't move, I said with more force, "Now." Jilly took off toward the front door, and I moved quickly up the stairs to my bedroom, ignoring my creaky knees as I retrieved my gun case from the bedside table. My hands were trembling as I opened the case and grabbed my compact 9mm and a full clip of bullets. I loaded the gun while I returned to the front of the house. It was dark outside. "Is he still out there?" I asked.
"Jilly?"
I heard a man shout.
"Jilly, come talk to me. I just want to talk. I'm sorry about earlier. I didn't mean it, I swear. I promise it won't happen again."
Jilly had her body pressed against the wall and out of sight.
"I think he turned off the light so he could see inside," she said. "He won't stop calling for me."
"How did he know you were here?"
An awful thought occurred to me. "The kids?"
"No," she said. "They're staying the night with friends."
She shook her head.
"I told him a couple of days ago that I was coming over here to celebrate your recovery."
Her pitch went up a notch as tears flooded her eyes.
"I'm so stupid."
"He's stupid, not you." "Jilly?"
he bellowed.
"Come out and talk to me. Don't make me come in there after you."
"That is just about enough."
I loaded a round into the chamber of my pistol and stalked to the door.
"Call the police," I said. "I already did," she said. "What are you going to do?"
"I'm going to get that jerk off my property."
I unlocked and opened the front door, walking out with my weapon extended in front of me. The wind whipped my hair across my face, and I pushed it back with my free hand. I hadn't bothered to put on shoes, and the rough concrete from my walk bit into my socked feet. I ignored the discomfort as I took aim at the drunk in my driveway. Lloyd, a tall man, handsome, even with a receding hairline, gave me a look of sheer incredulity. He wore a dark nylon jacket with a tear in the pocket. His cheek was red and swollen, and his lip was bleeding. I guessed this wasn't the first fight he'd started tonight.
"Get back in your car and leave, Lloyd, and stay away from Jilly," I said. "The police are on their way, and if you're gone before they get here, I won't file a complaint." You can't shoot me. He laughed. Castle law means I have to be in the place you live. Otherwise, you'll go to jail for assault or attempted murder.
The way I see it, I can shoot you. Then Jilly and I can drag you into the house.
He walked up to me and pressed his chest against the barrel of my gun.
Go ahead, tough girl. Shoot me.
The sour scent of beer mixed with whiskey made my stomach roil. I recognize his out-of-focus form before the reek of booze confirms it.
Bitch,
Lloyd yells. He grabs a red-haired woman, his hands encircling her throat. Like Lloyd, I can't make out her face. And with her knees buckled, I can't tell how tall or short she might be, but I can feel her desperation. She struggles to escape, but he is too strong.
Please, she whispers, barely audible. You're choking me.
He throws her to the ground and straddles her, his thick hands squeezing her throat. But who's his victim? I'm helpless. She's dying. He's killing her. I snapped out of it, full of rage. I lifted the 9mm higher and aimed at Lloyd's head.
Something in my eyes must have frightened him, because he took several steps back.
Sirens sang out in the distance. Tick-tock, I said to Lloyd. A smart man would already be in his car. He scowled at me.
Crazy bitch.
On that note, he jumped into his vehicle, started it up, and squealed his tires as he reversed out of the driveway. Jilly came running outside, clasping a butcher knife.
Oh my gosh, Nora. You're a freaking superhero.
When the police arrive, I'm filing a report, I said, trying not to pass out. She whipped the knife around in the air.
But you told Lloyd.
Jilly, stop waving that thing before you hurt yourself. She blushed as she dropped her arm to her side.
I forgot I was holding it. What are we going to say to the police?
The truth. Lloyd Briscoe is a bad guy, Jilly. Like, really bad. I shivered as pieces of the vision played in my head. He needs to be reported, and you need to show them your bruises. I have a feeling this man isn't going to leave you alone without encouragement.
Chapter 2.
The stringent scent of tea tree oil combined with the smoother notes of jasmine was a welcome relief as I stirred the essential and perfumed oils into a large pan of melted glycerin. I inhaled deeply, trying to calm my nerves. Last night's scratch-and-sniff vision featuring Lloyd the douchebag had really freaked me out. I'd wanted to tell the patrol officers about it, but what could I have said without sounding certifiably insane? Oh, and by the way, Lloyd might have strangled a woman sometime in the past. What does she look like? Red hair, face blurry. Eyes, blurry. Any distinguishable marks? You mean other than blurry? Yeah, sure. I could totally see my accusation getting the serious attention it deserved. And honestly, I wasn't sure if what I'd seen was real or an overactive imagination. I waved my hand over the pot, inhaling the calming scents again.
Right now, I just wanted to surround myself with delightful smells that wouldn't instigate murderous memories.
Pippa Davenport, my one employee, poked her head into the workshop.
Nora, why are you hiding out in the kitchen?
It's not the kitchen, Pips. I waved my hand around. No food is prepared here. Pippa was a 30-something blonde, willowy and fine-boned. She was one of the most loyal people I've ever had the privilege of working with. I'd hired her as my personal assistant when I had been the regional sales manager for one of the top beauty suppliers in the country. After my mom died, I'd used...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?